right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Tech Can't Save Us, a podcast by Literal Humans. I'm your host, Paul David. I am here with Ash Reed, head of content at Buffer. Thanks so much for joining us, Ash.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to chatting with you today.
Yeah. Really appreciate your time, mate. Ash and I connected through Superpath, CMCG, content marketing community. We're a bunch of content marketing nerds, so decided to kind of chop it up about all things Buffer and content marketing and tech for good today. So just to kick us off, I mean, you work at Buffer. Like, our listeners have probably heard of Buffer. Maybe they're using Buffer. You guys have a great product. Tell us a little about your work at Buffer and specifically, like, how do you think your company has been a force for good in the tech space?
Yeah, so Buffer has been around for 10 years. It was our 10th anniversary, like November 2020. And, you know, we're a social media management product. We have like a suite of tools for publishing, engagement, and analytics. And yeah, like my role is kind of overseeing all of our like content and brand marketing efforts, from like our podcast to the blog, and a little bit kind of, you know, also focusing on like the stories, the bigger picture, the messages that we want to share with the world. And yeah, I think like overall, like Buffer, in terms of like being a force for good, we've always tried to push the boundaries of what it means to like actually run a business and, you know, how businesses operate. So, you know, we've been a remote company for most of Buffer's existence. So I joined 5.5 years ago, and we closed our only office in San Francisco like around the time I joined. And it was still like, it was a remote first company. Even when we had the office, like there was only a couple of people in it in San Francisco. But we've always embraced that side of working and creating like flexible schedules and work experiences for all of the teammates. And I think also like we've always pushed like transparently and operated the business in full transparency. So, you know, you can always see like Buffer's revenue, customer numbers, like all of that is public and available for people to see. And, you know, recently as well, like 2020 is kind of, as COVID-19 was really starting to kick in across the globe, we began an experiment with a 4-day work week, just because like it was, it wasn't like working in normal times. And, you know, for teammates that have kids, they were trying to homeschool, and that's really difficult to balance with working. So we decided to experiment with a 4-day work week, and we've been doing that for like 9 months now. We're continuing with it through 2021. And yeah, I think like Buffer as an organization is just really, really keen to, you know, create a great work environment, but then also just kind of like push the boundaries and experiment to see how, you know, maybe other companies can operate, and, you know, can more business owners and CEOs kind of see what we're doing and maybe take like inspiration, or maybe it kind of gives them what they need to make the jump into embracing remote work or experimenting with flexible work times and just trying to kind of make work a better experience for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, one of the like enduring threads of this very new podcast is just like defining tech for good, because it's like a buzzword that's out there. And I think you hit on a couple points, like tech for good is like doing right by your employees and making the work experience like, you know, beneficial to them and better. Tech for good is also transparency, you know, and as a company, putting out into the world a transparent sense of who you are and your values, I think is really, really important. So thanks for helping us further define tech for good. That's awesome.
Yeah, happy to be a part of it. And I think, it's something that's always going to be evolving. Like, you know, at Buffer, our culture's, you know, never really set in stone. We're always making small tweaks and evolving things.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I think that's the other thing too, is like the nature of tech for good evolves as our society does, right? So I think that's an important thing for companies to be flexible and adaptive to new realities. You know, before last summer, it was like companies weren't taking political stances about things that mattered, and maybe now they are, for example. So yeah, that's really important. I mean, along those lines, last time you and I spoke, we talked about, you know, in terms of content at Buffer, you all taking a bit more of a pivot into talking, you know, about kind of tech for good and that space. And was just curious, is that still happening and sort of how's it going?
Yeah, so it's something that is still kind of a work in progress. We're still figuring things out. But as a company, like we have, you know, refocused a lot in the last like 6 months on who we want to serve, like what customers we want to, you know, to supply, and also just kind of like what our bigger why behind what we do is. And, you know, what we've settled on is kind of like Buffer exists because, you know, we want to see a world with more small businesses, and, you know, more small businesses that do good while doing well, which is kind of like, you know, essentially like what we're talking about with, you know, Tech for Good. It's like more small businesses that not just make a profit, but have a purpose beyond that profit, and they exist for a reason beyond just like how much revenue they can drive. And, you know, I think for us to do that, like we've been looking at, you know, our content, and the way I like to think about things is like breaking down, you know, content strategy into like narratives. So like, what are the key narratives that we want to put out into the world? Like, what are the stories that we want Buffer to be known for in 2021 and beyond? And for this year, like, we've settled on like three key narratives, and I'll just kind of like quickly run through those, and yeah, like then we can dig in deeper if we need to. But yeah, like the narratives we're focusing on this year is one, like having a purpose beyond profit is a superpower for small business. So consumers care a lot more now about the experience and the story behind the products they use than purely what the product is itself, right? They care about the values of the businesses that they buy from. And in most cases, like doing good is no longer just like a nice to have. It's going to be essential. Yeah, like, you know, people support brands whose purposes align with their own beliefs, and they reject those that don't. And, you know, we just think like having that genuine purpose as a part of your business is a superpower, right? And like, we chose the word superpower because it's like a business can exist without it, but with a purpose, it takes things to the next level. So that's like the first narrative we really want to put out into the world. Then the second is that truly caring is the best way to build a business that customers love. So, you know, I think we live in a world where like still the majority of companies only focus on the ROI of their actions, right? Like, if I do this, what will I get in return? And I think like the businesses that will succeed this year and beyond are the ones that truly care about their customers, that go above and beyond without expecting anything in return, that aren't, you know, focused on how many dollars will I get back from every action that I take. So, you know, and I think this can be, you know, sometimes it could be a big gesture, but other times it could literally just be responding to a comment on Instagram, or, you know, making someone's day with an email response. Like, these little things, these little moments that show that you really care are going to be the difference maker for small businesses, we believe.
And that particular point is interesting because it's like, you look at the data on millennials and Gen Z, like the economic and moral imperatives are merging, right? Like, it's like Gen Z and millennials will select away from a company if they don't, you know, believe in their values, or the companies haven't taken certain stances, or they feel like the company, to your point, doesn't care about them. So it's like you said, no longer, you know, a nice to have. It's like kind of an imperative for your bottom line on multiple levels.
Yeah. So yeah, I think like, you know, that's it. Like, truly just caring and going above and beyond where you can is really important. And then the third kind of narrative that we have is, and this kind of ties back to what I mentioned a little while ago about like having more small businesses in the world. Like, we really want to encourage a world where, yeah, there are more businesses, more small businesses. And the third narrative that we are running with this year and trying to talk about is like, anyone should feel empowered to build a small business. Because I think like the internet has, you know, enabled anyone to start a business. And I think you can get started with like, you know, Buffer has a free plan, so you can start building an audience on social for free. You know, there are quite cheap, you know, options like Shopify if you want to get an online store going, or like, you know, Webflow to build your first website. Like, you can get a business off the ground, but at the moment, like, it's not an equal playing field for everyone. And like, we did a lot of playing with this narrative because like, initially I had it down as anyone can start a business or anyone can build a business this year. And like, that's an aspiration for us. Like, we would like everyone to be able to build a business. But like, right now it doesn't feel like that's the truth. So like, we want to kind of tell stories and work towards a world where like, anyone does feel empowered, like regardless of background, social status, race, like where they live even. Because right now, like, those are blockers for some people. And, you know, we want to encourage a world where, yeah, people feel empowered to start a business if starting a business is right for them. Because I think that's another thing, like, you know, though we want to encourage more small businesses in the world, starting a business isn't right for everyone. And I think, yeah, that's like, that's something we need to, you know, balance along with our mission, is that, yeah, only start a business if it's right for you. And I think that's a part of, you know, this narrative as well, is sharing the stories and kind of saying like, look, it's completely fine not to own a business. I think like being a founder is kind of, you know, maybe glamorized a little bit in today's world, especially if you're in like, you know, certain bubbles online on Twitter and things like that. But it's completely fine to just, you know, work for a company and enjoy what you do every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's both like good timing, because like on a number of levels, like you're hearing so much more about the passion economy and people truly being able to monetize their passions and like building side hustles and like the Depops of the world. And, you know, you look at companies like Boost or Side Hustle Stack that are basically, you know, platforms for people to build their passion economy, you know, business, which I think are really powerful and really interesting. So it's good that you've keyed in on that narrative and you're focusing on it, because it's super, super timely. I guess on the other side of things, like on social media management and the role that that plays specifically as relates to the passion economy, for example, what do you see, you know, happening in that landscape in terms of tech for good and kind of, you know, advancing things like the passion economy? What do you see happening there?
Yeah, so I think what we're seeing, like there's a couple of things that come to mind when I'm thinking about tech to good, and it's maybe not necessarily like technological advances, but I think, you know, we're definitely seeing, and I think this is coming out, you know, of COVID-19, like we're seeing a lot more empathy out there on social. I think like brands have, I think, leaned into kind of over communicating more. I think we've seen a lot of companies have like manufacturing, shipping delays, all these kinds of things, and they've been communicating that clearer than maybe they had in the past due to COVID-19. And I think we've also seen from like both sides, consumers and brands, like a bit more empathy in the way they communicate. And I think that's a really positive thing moving forwards. And I think one kind of tied to that, like another thing that we're seeing is, I think there's a better understanding of mental health when it comes to like people that work in social, and an understanding that, you know, like maybe think twice about sending that rant on Instagram or Twitter, because a real person is on the end of that. And I think, you know, being someone that works in social, it can be a 24/7 job. And, you know, when you are kind of dealing with such open platforms where you can just kind of, you know, open your Instagram comments, and, you know, a comment can make or break your day as soon as you start it. And I think we are seeing like more businesses, and I think like leaders becoming more empathetic towards like the people that are on almost essentially like, you know, the front lines of company communications on social, where, yeah, like the mental health of your social media manager matters, and it is a 24/7 role. And, you know, creating ways for these people to disconnect, I think, is really important. I think that's where tech can really help, is just kind of enabling people who live in this kind of 24/7 world of social to feel okay taking a pause or finishing early or not checking in over the whole weekend. I think like that's where tech can really step in and help in the world of social, is, you know, like automatically maybe flagging negative comments or trolls, and, you know, telling, yeah, just kind of surfacing and categorizing comments, like putting you in a position to feel okay to disconnect.
Is I read an interesting article the other day about like design and how like, you know, part of tech for good is like designing for better human, you know, physical and mental wellness. So like I don't use Buffer myself, but like I'd be curious if you all have tools that help with that. Like, hey mate, like you've been social media managing for 8 hours now, take a break. Or like, hey, just want to flag this comment that's coming through is like pretty intense, you know, and it's going to affect you. Like, is that built into your system at all? Or do you see that coming down the pike?
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, we did actually launch our engagement tool, and it's Instagram only for now, but like Facebook integration is coming soon. And that tool basically like surfaces all of the comments that you've had on your posts. And we've been like working on some like machine learning technology that will kind of flag important comments. So like, you know, if someone's asking about a sale or, I don't know, a shipment or something, like it will flag that at the top. We also have like kind of one click to dismiss comments that you don't need to be responding to. And yeah, like that's something that we're working on to kind of try and streamline the process of responding to people. But yeah, I think there is, you know, more we can do. As well with like analytics, we, you know, we try and streamline that process with automating like monthly reporting and things like that, helping you easily find what's working to hopefully alleviate, you know, some of the hours that you might otherwise spend crawling through all of your data to find the insights. And I think like what we're really focused on is, you know, how can we streamline work processes? Like how can we make your, through our product, and I think as well through like our content that we create and our brand messaging and story, like how can we challenge bad work practices, or, you know, try and streamline your day and kind of make it, you know, that a little bit better. So yeah, we're making starts, and I think that's something really important for us to focus on.
The idea of a 24/7 job is just like, I mean, it's just murder. Like it's just wrong. So, but I mean, you know, I know that the social media platforms have an incentive to keep people on there as long as possible and producing, you know, putting stuff out. But you know, maybe the social media management apps like don't have to do that. Like can kind of draw back the line a little bit and sort of help the people who use them have healthier practices. So it's good to hear that y'all are thinking about that and, you know, putting things into place to make that happen.
Yeah. I think as a brand, like you know, there is a need to almost constantly be feeding the algorithms and putting content out there. But I think as a person, like you don't need to be paying attention to that 24/7.
So yeah, pivoting a little bit, I mean, so we connected through a network of content marketers. What's your perspective on, you know, the role that content marketers specifically can or should play when it comes to tech for good and kind of, you know, moving us forward in this technified world?
Yeah, so I think this, you know, as content marketers, I think there's a responsibility on being very selective about the stories that we tell, right? Like tell genuine stories, cut out all of the hacks and like the feeding hustle culture stories of, you know, how the 1% goes viral or, you know, achieves this wild success that no one can achieve. So I think it's like, you know, only hit publish when you feel like you're genuinely adding something to your industry, like when something needs to be said. So I think there's like that side of being a lot more mindful about what you put out into the world. And, you know, the fact that, you know, if you are preaching hustle culture and someone's boss reads it, like that might be what they expect from them. Whereas like if you're kind of putting out, you know, more genuine content and saying like, you know, yeah, not everyone builds, goes viral, not everyone has 50,000 followers, but like a small audience can help you. And, you know, that's something we might look to write, for example. But yeah, I think just be really mindful about what you're putting out into the world and the impact that it could have on someone's day to day. And then also, like as you're making decisions about the tools you're using, be mindful of the companies that you're supporting. And, you know, like we, for example, like we host our blogs on Ghost, which is like a nonprofit, yeah, like supports, you know, like a healthier internet ecosystem. It's a company I really like. I'm, you know, proud to be a customer. I love what they're doing and what they stand for. And that was, you know, like the tech is great. It does everything we need it to do. But also like we feel good about using that tech. So I just think like wherever you can try and, you know, be mindful of the companies you're supporting. And, you know, if you feel good about where you're spending your dollars, and maybe that's not always possible, but have that angle in your decision-making process. And yeah, you won't hit it all the time, but if 10% of your tools are brands that you genuinely feel are making the world a slightly better place, which I know is a terrible cliche, but yeah, doing their bit to give back, you know, 10% is better than 0%.
I mean, I'm with you. If I see another like hustle porn, like, you know, the 15 morning habits of like, you know, like Fortune 500 CEOs, like I'm just going to lose it. And what I really want to do is a teardown of like, you know, take one of those articles and be like, well, you know, CEO Jim like has a maid and like has a cook and like gets driven places and like just really put in there like, listen, like what are you putting out to people? And I take that really seriously. Like I used to be a middle school teacher who taught reading and English, and like you have to really think about the content that you put in front of children and humans in general, because they internalize that stuff. So if someone's boss reads that, they're going to expect their employees to act that way and have that morning routine that's completely unattainable. So
yeah, I think like completely agree with you. And like the one thing I think is missing from so much content is like context. You see, you know, so many stories of uber successful companies or individuals that are making millions or whatever, and like what's always left out is the starting point is, you know, like this person went to the best college, didn't ever have to worry about not making it. You know, it's not achievable for the people that lead, you know, normal lives or have kids or, you know, like, yeah, I work on side projects and, you know, I want to build my own businesses, but like if it comes to spending an evening with my friends or working, like I'm sacking off work every single time. And yeah, like that doesn't mean you can't be successful, but it's just like that's, you know, the stuff that's always left out of these stories.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I think the context is really important. And I mean, you know, I hope I don't get flack for this from the Elon Musk and Tesla and stuff like that, but like, you know, like let's start the story of like someone's family owned a diamond mine in Namibia and like an apartheid area in Namibia, and like that's a big deal and that contributes to that larger story. Sure, he's brilliant, sure he's a genius, he's developing things that are important for humanity, but like I agree with you that context is missing from so much content. So yeah, that's a powerful reflection.
Yeah, I think like what you just mentioned as well is important. Like it doesn't take away from success, like your whatever your background is, like doesn't take away from success, but it takes away from other people's ability to replicate that. And if you're not sharing it, it can just make people feel bad about their own situation. And I think there's too much content that is doing that right now, where it's just like, if you're not uber successful, then you don't matter. And that's not good for anyone.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Pivoting a bit here more to some of the sort of generalized questions that we ask all guests on Tech Can't Save Us. Curious about, you know, like you work at a social media management company, and so that itself is a thing that piles on top of other tools to some extent. So I'm curious about your tech stack. What do you use on a regular basis, and what's one piece of tech that's been a game changer for you?
So like recently, I would say like Notion is one that's been really helpful for me. Like I didn't get the hype for years. Like I saw people having these like really flash Notion dashboards and handling their lives in Notion, and the learning curve was always a bit too steep for me. Like I couldn't be bothered to spend a few hours setting everything up. But over the holidays, I decided to put aside like a half a day, just like watch some videos on YouTube on how to set up Notion. And it's now, yeah, like personally I use it. It's like a home base for where I kind of manage a lot of my personal stuff, but also at Buffer, like we've adopted it as a bit of a project management tool, and it's really become like a go-to home for everything that's going on at Buffer, and then for me as well, like everything that's going on with my projects, and a good place to kind of keep tabs on work in progress, what's going on, keeping notes. Like one of the best things I've built in there is just like using the Notion extension. It's just like saving articles that I want to go back to, and just like having a list of, you know, all the articles I read every week that I kind of want to make notes on but don't have time to as I read, or I'm maybe just flicking through on my phone. That's been really important. So yeah, I think Notion has been a bit of a game changer for me.
Yeah, that's huge. And you're catching me at like the perfect point, because I'm like I'm like where you were before the holidays. I'm like about to do the subscription, dig into it, you know, build it out. So yeah, that's timely. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it takes a few hours to wrap your head around it, I found, but it's worth it.
So like kind of to that point, like so Notion has solved a particular problem for you, but thinking more broadly, what would you say is a problem that tech probably can't solve for us, and why?
This is a big one, but I would say greed. Like I kind of have this, and I feel like greed is kind of the root of most of society's problems, in the, you know, whether it's huge organizations kind of stockpiling money, or I don't know, Amazon maybe, you know, like having workers not making ends meet, but then uber rich billionaires at the top, which, like, I don't know, I'm not one of the like anti-billionaire, anti-rich people, but I think like if there was a little bit less greed in the world, most of our problems would be solved. And yeah, I don't know how tech solves that, because I think it's an issue with humans more so than technology.
Yeah, in some many cases, tech can accelerate it. Yeah, I mean, I think what was this like quote the other day that was about? It was something about like, you know, when children are in kindergarten and they, you know, squirrel away all the blocks for themselves, they get put in timeout. But when an adult does it in the economy, they get put on the cover of Forbes magazine. You know, it's like how did our value system change from like how we raise kids to, you know, adults, where it's like, you know, it's so like, I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of conversations like, should we have billionaires? Should we have millionaires? I mean, I even feel that as a business owner, agency owner, where I'm like, look, people on my team like are trying to pay bills and need stuff, but am I really trying to build like this massive reserve of cash that just sits there month to month? Like, yes, I need to do that as a business, but I don't know, it just makes me nervous. I don't know. So that's, I struggle with that as well.
Yeah, like I think, and I might butcher this analogy, but there was one I heard a while back about like cash is like energy, and it's kind of like you don't store a drawer full of batteries for no reason, and you know, why would you do the same with cash?
That's a great one. I love that. I'm gonna use that. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you should put it to work. So I'd much rather, as a business owner, hey, we've got this extra cash laying around, can you write another blog post for us, or design this thing, or promote this thing, because it'll help the business, you know, make more, but don't put it in a drawer. I like that. Sort of flip side there, this is a Tech for Good podcast, but we also like to talk about tech for bad. So what's the evilest application that, of tech out there that you've seen?
Yeah, I think I know I have a problem with a lot of advertising. I just think like most advertising isn't genuine. You know, if you go on any publication, you get, normally you don't even get to start reading the article before you're bombarded with terrible advertising. But like, especially, you know, all of the recommended stories and all of that stuff at the bottom of pages, the Taboola style ads, like they are not good. And I think like it's technology taking advantage of the average person's like lack of understanding about privacy and how the web works. So I don't think there's like, you know, one particular like evil company or something behind it, but I think there's just like this taking advantage of people's lack of understanding of online privacy, and you know, even just like how, you know, people are literally paying their own money for these adverts. Like if you're on your, you know, mobile internet, like the ads are adding so much to the page load and using your data just to serve you like a bad experience. And yeah, I think like that's something that I really don't agree with, and I hope we find a better way of operating that. You know, and like I'll caveat by saying like I personally don't have an issue with, you know, places like Instagram and Facebook serving me super targeted ads, because I actually prefer that. When I get an advert for a brand I'm interested in or a product I might want to buy, that's great. But I think on the flip side, there's a lot of tech taking advantage of people that don't really know what's going on. And yeah, you know, people end up paying for that.
Yeah. And well said too, because I think about that a lot as a content marketer. Like I feel like we're very thoughtful and cautious, you know, and circumspect about what content we put out there and why, and is it valuable to people? And then when we look at this advertising that's going on, we're just like, what the hell is this? Like, this is not solving problems for people. It's not adding value. And it's, to your point, like, it's kind of sacred, like people's attention and their time and like their eyeballs. Like as a content marketer, I think of that as a sacred thing. And some of these ads are just, they're terrible. So yeah, I'm with you. All right. So flip side of that question, if you could, and maybe your answer here is a thing that solves the last thing you just said, but if you could dream up a new tech product, what would it be and what problem would it solve, and for whom?
Yeah. So I think I would definitely love to see something that solves the last problem of, you know, like solving an ad driven internet, or certainly like an ad driven media. I think a page view driven media is bad for society because it rewards sensationalism and division. And I would like to see a solution to that. Like, that's like me and a friend are, we're actually working on like a local media project at the moment, like hoping to kind of create like a sustainable local media entity that can, you know, survive without the dreadful ads that I just mentioned. But I think another one that comes to mind is just like, I'm big on how we can be a little bit more environmentally friendly in day-to-day life. And I think as well for businesses, but actually like knowing your personal carbon footprint or the carbon footprint of your business is still really, really hard. So, you know, like there's a company I donate to each month, or a charity called like Ecology, and they plant trees every month and try and offset your carbon footprint. But it's all a complete guessing game of, you know, like how much impact, like, I don't know, you know, what's the impact of me playing, you know, spending Friday evenings on online gaming, right? Like running my computer, the servers that are, you know, running the games. I don't have a clue what that is. And I would love a way for everyone to kind of easily offset, or just show people like simple ways to offset that, right? Like, you know, if you're gaming on Friday night, maybe walk to the shop Saturday morning and you're equal.
You'll offset it. I've seen some like boutique consulting agencies pop up where they help businesses assess that, you know, like really dig in and assess their footprint. But I also think there's like this whole thing of like the idea of a carbon footprint at an individual level. It's important, but it also is a bit of a corporate creation because, you know, what is it, like 30 companies or something like that produce like 70% of the emissions that, you know what I mean? So like, I think there's like a regulatory and policy and governmental piece here of like, we just need to regulate those companies, and that doesn't solve everything, but like a bit of both, I guess. But
yeah, I'm with you on that. I think like there's personal changes everyone can make that will lead to a more sustainable world. But yeah, like that, the compost heap in my back garden is kind of pointless when certain companies are just, yeah, manufacturing in the way they manufacture.
So, when there's a company down the river just pushing sewage into your water supply, you're like, yeah, good job on the compost heap, mate.
yeah. So yeah, I think like, yeah, by and large, like it's hard to feel that you're having much impact, but yeah, you know, or even, I guess, yeah, maybe it's just like the education piece is more important than your personal footprint there. It's just like, these are the companies, these are the practices that are putting us at risk. Like, these are the things that need to change. And
the thing I worry about is like the, I don't even know how you'd phrase this, but like, you know, turning people into consumers rather than citizens. And I feel like that's like a big, I feel like at some point, like we've lost our role as like citizens who advocate for things. And we're like, oh, like if I just buy a better compost heap, or if like, you know what I mean? Like, and instead of, but it's a misdirection of effort, I think. Right. And it's a purposeful one. Cause it's like, they don't want you protesting that company down the river. They want you focused on your little compost heap here, you know? And like, I think that's like, that's dangerous to, on some level, you know? Cause you then are thinking, oh, I can solve this problem through capitalism, when actually you need to solve it through collective action.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. There's like definitely government misdirection at the heart of most of these problems is, yeah, you're being directed to look at what you're doing in your home, but not so much the votes that they're taking day to day.
Well, along those lines, I mean, what do you see? So we made it through 2020. I say that in air quotes. We're now in a new year. What's your prediction about, you know, the tech for good space, you know, in 2021 and beyond?
I hope we don't have to look at it as tech for good for long. That's my hope. I hope that by, I don't know, in a couple of years, it's just tech and it's just the way companies operate. Because yeah, I think, you know, we touched on it earlier, but a lot of brands are waking up to the fact that having a purpose, being mission driven, like it's not just nice to have, it's becoming essential. And, you know, consumers are buying based on what a brand says, what it stands for, its actions it takes. Like, you know, I think we've seen it, you know, last year there was, you know, in the summer, a lot of the Black Lives Matter stuff, and every brand was making a statement. Like, how many have really followed through on that? Like, nowhere near enough. And I think that's going to, you know, like false promises are going to come back and bite a lot of these brands. And I think we'll see companies realizing you can't just make a statement for the sake of making a statement. Like, you have to back it up. And yeah, I just hope that, you know, we're going to see people rejecting the companies that don't have purposes and missions and don't follow up with actions. And I just hope tech for good is just tech soon, and we don't have to make that distinguishment. Like, there's generally tech is good, and there's a few bad eggs, like in everything, but generally, like, this is the way the world works. And yeah, I think we'll see, you know, hopefully the brands that are kind of focused on like doing good right now and giving back and purpose, they're kind of seeing this like first mover advantage and they're getting ahead of everyone else. But, you know, even though I think, yeah, like Buffer is a company that's, you know, doing that, and maybe I think we've definitely benefited from being a first mover in a lot of this stuff, I hope everyone else just catches us up and even overtakes us and gives us something to like look up to learn from.
That's an important thing, because like companies trying to outwoke each other for the purpose of brand equity, you know what I mean? And what I think what you just said is powerful, is like Buffer doesn't want all the other social media management companies to suck at being good. Like, you actually want them to get, you know, good and be helpful to the world and not just like be laggards. Like, that's powerful.
Yeah, like, yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's not a game of, I don't know, one-upmanship and who can be better. Like, I think as well, like, it has to be genuine, you know, it has to fit with your company. You can't just make a statement. And I think, yeah, like, you know, give back in your own way. Like, if Hootsuite and Sprout, I'm sure they do in certain ways, but doing good for them looks very different to doing good for us. So yeah, I hope it, yeah, to sum it up, I just hope that we don't keep calling it tech for good.
Yeah. Naming names too, I love it. Naming the event, that's great. Yeah, and that's well said. Like, how can we get to a point where we don't have to have like a subsector? It's just like the whole sector, and like all tech is for good. It's just tech. And I think it attracts with other, you know, societal dynamics too, of like, you know, the answer to racism isn't just tolerance, it's anti-racism. It's like actively working against these structures that have existed forever. So yeah, well said. I mean, another question around the lines of defining tech for good is one thing we always talk about is like a lot of it's about people and their careers and balancing profit and purpose. So what's worked well for you in terms of, you know, crafting a life and a career that balances those two things?
Yeah, so I think like at the start of my career, it honestly like wasn't a focus. And I think, you know, like I've worked for gambling companies and, you know, done client work for media brands that I now wouldn't go anywhere near. And I think like part of that is just being young and like an education and kind of, you know, also you have to build, you know, your way up, and you can't always be picky when you're starting a career. But I think, you know, now it's something I really focus on. Like, it would be a key decision maker in any project I turn on, like choose to take on, anyone I choose to work with. And yeah, I think like just choosing where you invest your time and who you work for is really important. I think it's, you know, something that like I like to think about is, you know, when I'm old and retired, like I want to look back and kind of be proud of the stuff I've done and feel like, yeah, I made a difference is very cliche, but yeah, like, you know, done stuff that was positive. And I think in your early career, there's definitely like finding your footing in what you're doing, and also just like finding your footing in industries. And, you know, I don't necessarily think like, I know certain industries are inherently bad, but, you know, there is a good education to be had for, you know, having a wide spectrum of experience. But yeah, I think now it's just like making sure there's alignment in terms of where you want to be and where the company's going. Like, do they want to invest in the same kind of stuff as you? Like, if you're going to be at odds with every decision that's made, like, yeah, stick around if you like make ends meet, definitely. Like, stick around if you have no other choices, be there, but just be on the lookout for something that is more aligned with where you want to be.
Yeah, aligned. I think that's really well said. I mean, I think about that. I used to work in education and nonprofits and charities and things like that. And I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of like self-righteousness in those sectors of like, oh, we're doing good for people and we're good people and we're saving, you know, the world from the rest of, and, you know, God bless everyone who works in those industries, like really good folks. But I've definitely worked for people that I would never want to work for again in those industries. And then conversely, some of the nicest, most wonderful, you know, people doing impactful things I've worked for in the private sector as well, who were looked down upon, you know, by folks in those other sectors. And like, yeah, I mean, I think I reached a point where I was like, I don't want to work for assholes. I want to do something I'm proud of. And even those things that I did in education, like, they weren't always that great and that effective, you know? So it's like, I think that humility and that, you know, response, like, what's my legacy going to be? I think that's huge. So yeah, well said.
Yeah. I think there's also like this element of, if you want to make an impact, you need to have capital, right? Like, you, it's hard to do it without that. And yeah, I think, like, you know, that's feels quite aligned with what you just said about, like, there are people in the private sector doing great things. It's like, you know, all of the stuff Buffer is doing, we couldn't do this if we weren't a profitable company.
Yeah, I've been, it's easy, like, I've been the martyr, and I've, like, there's so much martyrdom, I think, in the charity sector of, like, we have to do this, like, massive amount of good on, like, the least amount of resources and just work these crazy hours and not have benefits. And it's like, that's no way to, first of all, there's no way to live. Second of all, there's no way to solve problems, you know? And it's like, yeah, there are going to be moments where you need to leverage capital and resources to do that. And so, yeah, I think that's a really important point.
Yeah, I think, like, I watched this really good TED talk, and the guy's name escapes me now, but it was on, like, the problems with charities. And it was kind of like what you just said, like, charities want to do everything for like the lowest amount of investment possible. But it's like, if you can spend zero and make 50 grand, that's nice. But if you can spend a million and make 5 million, then, like, spend the million, like, hire the best people, don't be afraid to spend. And yeah, I think, like, that's kind of this balance in building a career and building a business in the doing good space. It's like, there's only so much impact you can have with $0.
Yeah. And I think to be fair to charities too, like, I think a lot of them are, it's a structural thing, and especially in the US where I'm from, like, so many charities are just set up for failure, you know, from the way they're funded, the way foundations deal with them, the way the government just, like, doesn't do a lot for people and puts that work at the feet of charities, particularly in the US. And I'd say to some extent here, like, you know, the fact that, like, a footballer is having a conversation with the prime minister about feeding poor kids astounds me. Like, it blows my mind that, like, he even has to think about that in his role. But you know, that to me is like a breakdown. That's a societal governmental breakdown that, you know, this, you know, rich footballer is now trying to solve. So that's wild. Anyway, well, to that point, one thing we like to ask kind of at the end too is thinking about the tech for good space, about people who have interesting ideas and perspective in the space. Who do you think we should invite on? Who would you like to hear from on the podcast?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I mentioned it earlier, but there's a company called Ecology, which is, like, doing some really cool stuff with, like, climate and planting trees and kind of giving back. And I think they're really cool. And yeah, there's another, like, brand I started following on Instagram, and I think one of its founder might be part of the Ecology team, but it's called, like, Good Candles. And it's like, every candle you buy helps to give back to related charities. So, like, they have a like a reading charity. I think they've got, like, a library named candle or book named candle, and that gives back to, like, literacy companies. So every investment you make is kind of helping something. So yeah, there are a couple of companies that I like, and I think they're also kind of in that small startup phase, so really interesting.
Yeah, no, I've added them to our list. I'll put them on the invite list. Those are great recommendations. Thank you. Well, this has been awesome. I really appreciate your time, Ash. Ash Reed, head of content at Buffer. So grateful to have you on. And this has been a great conversation about tech for good. So thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a really good conversation. I've really enjoyed it.
You bet. All right. Well, have a good one. Thanks, everyone. Don't forget to subscribe and like. Bye.